The following podcast is recorded and produced by the Podcast Precinct in affiliation with the network at bicbp-radio.com. The Podcast Precinct. Consistency, creativity, culture.
Back to the Starry Night Theater podcast. I'm your host, Alex.
I'm your other host, DJ.
And today we have two lovely guests for you. If you would like to introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Danielle Burning.
And I'm Hilda Meyer Post.
This is probably the newest episode we have. Like, you guys are probably the newest people we've had on an episode before.
Yeah.
So you are the trial run.
Oh,
wow.
If this all
fails, this goes bad.
Because of you guys.
No pressure.
No pressure. Everyone's listening, like, don't fail. Don't fail so the new people could come on.
Thank you. Thanks.
It's all on you guys. So talk. No, I'm kidding. So we're going to start with some beef. Get into it. Anybody have beef before me?
Start us off, DJ.
I'll start us off. So I have somewhat of a mustache.
I have seen it.
Yes. It's not full. It's not peak mustache, but it's there. I cannot eat anything without getting it in my stash, regardless of what it is. And so last night, I was out late. We went to Waffle House and Krispy Kreme, and getting back at 3 a.m, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna have a donut, a Krispy Kreme donut. I eat it, I wake up, and my mustache is hardened to my face. And it is the most infuriating thing that I've ever dealt with in my life. So when I drink water, now it's like it's a double purpose of hydrating myself.
And cleaning.
cleansing my mustache. So that is my beef, facial hair.
Well, maybe my beef is that I can't grow a mustache. Actually, no, it doesn't really sound that appealing.
I like everything else about it except for everything that gets into it.
So, like, you like the way it looks, but
yeah,
you find nothing else.
Yeah,
right.
Mustafa's growing one right now. He's my boyfriend, and it's just getting unruly, and I'm not a fan, but he seems to like it. So
now, here's the thing: there's no like schooling for what your facial hair should look like, so I don't know. When to cut my mustache, where to cut my mustache.
When it's too much.
What's happening? And then, like, everyone just has these, like, expectations of what it should look like. But you're never taught these expectations. So I don't... My hands
are
off.
Well, you can clean it up. Like, I don't know, men clean it up to make it look more neat.
But nothing about me is neat. So I feel like the crazy facial hair fits me.
My partner just doesn't like it if their mustache starts to touch their lip. So,
yeah,
like,
that's happening.
Cut. They just will use scissors to cut it so that it doesn't
like trim it. So
a little trim here and there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they didn't start growing a mustache until they were 29. So like,
oh wow,
yeah.
So they really don't know what to do.
Yeah, no, they're making it up. But there's, I mean, it looks good. So we're just
aren't we all just making it up though?
That's real.
Everything.
Yeah,
that's all real. Rules are made up.
Yeah, mine's touching my lips right now, and it is obnoxious. But like, when I start to cut, like, I'll be like, all right, I'll like shape it up, and I'm like, I'm just going for it, and then I cut it all off, and then I look at myself in the mirror, and I'm like, why would you do that?
You know, I don't know if this can count as my beef because it's from like years ago, a lot of years ago. But when I was in college, I went to theater school, and I did I was in a one act play opposite this guy with like a really like a very big.
Okay.
Much mustache.
Yeah.
That he did not do any trimming to or anything. And it was my first stage kiss.
Oh, okay. No.
And we had to like make out on a couch while someone was giving a monologue. So it was like several minutes long.
Oh, no.
And I would get like brush burn by the end of it. Because his giant mustache was like, ugh, it was not my most favorite mustache experience.
That's brutal. Mm.
It was also like in my nose. Like, you don't want that. I don't want that. I don't think anyone.
No.
Wants
did you so tell this person?
I don't know. I was a freshman in college, and like I'd gotten cast in this one act play. I'm not gonna like.
So you're just like, I'm not gonna complain about everything. Everything's great and fine.
He's like a senior. Yeah. So I was like, no, this is totally fine and comfortable, and I'm not uncomfortable at all.
That is something uncomfortable to deal with. Whenever I have a stage kiss in a script, I'm like, can we just skip it?
Do something else.
Just to work around it.
And that was quite a one to start with.
That's a
it was
big
like,
one.
Like
yeah.
a minute,
it
minutes
like a
long,
smooch,
right?
It was like a minute long. And like for some of it, we kind of just like hid our faces, you know.
Yeah.
So we
didn't,
but like enough of it.
Your
there
face
was
all red
lot
afterwards.
Of mustache, yeah. Just a lot of it.
Yeah, that's a lot. when it's not your mustache, you don't want it touching you.
I mean, like, a little is fine, but it was just like so big and yeah. like very much over his mouth and everywhere else. And like then it was in my nose. Like you don't want someone else's face hair in your nose.
Yeah. So you really
yeah, that's
just
the right face to make.
You were just kissing the mustache. You weren't even.
Yes, basically. Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's. I mean, if that counts as a beef, I think. Like,
that was a good one.
I just have a beef with mustaches in general. No, that's fine.
You triggered
I
her.
I did, yeah. Sometimes it just rolls. You. Sometimes you just go for it. And mine's getting in my mouth as we speak. So
yeah, a little trim.
Now you can be self-conscious about it. For
I am. No, I am. And it's still a little stiff. So you'd think it would just stay up. I'm going to start hairspraying my mustache so it just stays up.
You should
get
do
like
the,
beard wax.
The French.
Yeah, we're both at the same time. Yeah. We're like, yeah, dude.
It's
do
not
the
big
twisty.
Enough for that. That would just be sad.
I feel like you're like, close. The way it's shaped, it's, though, it's kind of perfect for it.
It is.
Yeah, but it's not big enough. Like, if you can't grow facial hair, then, like, don't. You can't do that. You can't fully commit to something that you don't fully have.
Well, I mean, what's the longest you've grown your facial hair?
This right now.
No.
It doesn't.
So keep going.
It doesn't grow more than this.
Oh, okay.
Like you have to shave it, and then like it's supposed to come in, but like I don't want to shave it because then I look weird.
I mean,
it's problems with facial hair.
This is as long as mine gets, so. Not for lack of trying. I'm just kidding. I don't want a mustache. No offense, DJ.
They have their moments. They do. All right, who else has beef? It doesn't have to be mustache related, but if it is, go for it.
I have beef that our weekends are only 2 days because it is not enough time to do everything.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I'm like, when do I get to relax?
Never. Yeah. No.
Like my week busy is different than my weekend busy, but it's still busy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I would just like 3 hours to just sit down and do nothing.
Yeah.
It's not even like two full days. It's like one and a half because Sunday afternoon, you're starting to think about work.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I can go on and on about the work week. It's horrible. We should go to four, see how that works. I know it's been tossed around, but like, I mean, still, then like, we're bargaining for 3 days. Like, that's crazy. I feel like we should have more than 3 days of our lives to enjoy.
Yep. I was there before having a child, and now that I have a child, I'm like, what even is a weekend? It doesn't.
Oh, God.
You just do more
that's horrible.
Stuff. And because she's a toddler, she doesn't stop moving ever. So, neither do I. Yay! I mean, she's great. Don't get me wrong. I'm just very tired. I'm very tired.
Yeah. No, that's two jobs in one right there.
But then I also feel like I have free time. And then I go, someone's like, oh, come do this. And I'm like, I was planning that day off. But okay, I will do it. And then I'm like, oh, that's why I'm always tired. Because I don't know how to keep any free time I have available.
Also impossible. I mean, adult friendships are hard enough in general.
Right? I'm like, oh, our time matches up a little bit? Sure, I can, like, yep. I don't need me time.
Yeah, that's so sad. It really is. I back that beef for sure.
Yeah. I have some beef. I just figured this out now. These chairs, when it's hot out and your legs stick to them, and then when you, like, try to get up and your skin just sort of, like,
it has
ripped
off
to it.
To
yeah.
the chair.
Yeah.
What chair do you have?
Well, I mean, it's not bad.
It's
now.
A metal. It's just a metal
so
one.
So
there's no
cushioning.
Yeah. But you stick to the cushions. Like, you stick to whatever.
Yeah. So when you get up off, has that never happened to you? Well, you have pants, so.
I normally am wearing pants, but, like, it happens with leather. Like, I'll have to rip my skin off of leather, but, like, never metal, I feel.
Yeah, anything that's, like,
I was like plastic,
sweaty.
Yeah.
Really anything. Yeah.
Wow.
Also, our shorts are so much shorter that, like...
Right, so we have more like skin on the chair.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. That's awful. I'm sorry.
Like, I don't know what this is like.
Summer is a garbage time to have skin.
Yeah.
Oh, I stand by that.
Especially when you sit down and it's like a metal that like looks like it should be fine, but then it ends up being really hot, and you're like, "What the heck?"
Yeah.
No, that's awful. Yeah, I've had that. But
how
like,
short
I never
are
stuck
your
to
shorts?
It. No. Sometimes it just goes right through.
Like, you know, imagine that on your bare skin.
No. Yeah. No.
Well, it's like car seats. What kind of material do you have for your car seats?
I don't know. Whatever. It's not leather, so it's the other thing. Mm. And it's just
fabric.
Yeah. I didn't know if like, we were looking for a name, a brand. I don't know.
No.
But it's not leather. It's hot. It gets hot, but like I don't stick to it. But like a leather, yeah, you're done.
Yeah, you're done.
No thanks. Okay. And my car is black, so like I get in and it's a sauna.
I haven't had air conditioning in my car for 4 years.
What's wrong with you?
No. So you'd think I'd get this fixed, especially because my dad couldn't fix it. And so for 4 years, we've been like, well, the winter comes. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't need you fixing it now. It's the winter. And then the summer comes and I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't have air conditioning. That's right. I need to fix this. And then we go all summer saying, let's fix this. And then every weekend, we just never do it. And then I get through the summer, and it's back to winter.
Okay, it's because weekends aren't long enough. Yep.
Yes.
It's because
circling back.
Yeah, exactly.
How can we tie mustaches into this?
Yeah.
There's no time on the weekend to learn how to trim our mustache.
There should be classes given, but people don't have time to give classes because there's no time. But that's a top priority thing.
I know.
No, like if I didn't have AC, then I'm in the driveway the next day saying you got to
fix it. And it's not even
now.
Like I have to go anywhere. I can just go to my dad and he'll fix it. But I don't know. I just sort of deal with it. Mm. And I get used to having the windows down. But when it rains and it's hot, that's hard. Because obviously you can't have the windows down.
Yeah.
I don't exist in heat particularly
yes.
well. Like this is not my prime weather
yeah,
time.
Yeah, you're like DJ.
So no air conditioning is like, that's like a no. That's a hard,
see,
that's a hard
I love the summer, so I'm like, okay, whatever.
It's disgusting.
Sometimes I get jealous of people who love the summer because like it seems like a fun thing to love, but I would much rather have it be pretty much any other time of year.
Yeah.
It's too fucking hot. Oops. I
did. Oh!
Apologize so well. For the children's ears.
I'm so sorry, children.
I want to like summer. I like to play outside like a child and throw around a frisbee, throw around a football, and like just get into it. Like I love doing that. But like the whole time I'm out there, I'm like, I hate this. It's too hot. I'm sweaty. Like I would love if this was fall.
Yeah, just do it when it's like 65 degrees and then it's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Not 90.
Not 90.
Well, that was like when we went to North Carolina last year and played football outside. That was hot. I feel like that was the sweatiest I've ever been.
That was fun, though.
Oh, yeah, it was fun, but it was just like way too sweaty.
Now, I played on a field last year, Sparky Adams Field, and we're just throwing around the football. And when you're playing on turf, the turf is like 1,000 degrees on a good day. Mm. And so, like, you're falling on it, you're getting all scraped and stuff. I got up after one of the plays and I'm in line and it's like 90 something, but it feels like 99 and I'm wearing a sweatshirt and I was seeing, like, I couldn't see straight. Like everything was like kind of moving. And then we run the last play and then I just like fall in the end zone. I'm like, I think I'm done for forever. I think this is it.
You know, at least one piece of that is under your control.
I was like, why are you wearing a sweatshirt?
Well, like, sweatshirt.
I mean, because he's wearing one now.
It didn't feel that hot, like coming out of the car. And then you step on the turf. You're like, I'm not going to last.
I'm like, if the sun is out and shining and it feels any kind of warm, I'm like, I don't need this sweater.
I don't.
No,
I just would like
style.
To wear as that's... few clothes as I can while being societally.
This is what I wear year round.
Oh, I could no.
Yeah, so, I mean, I have seen you wearing full sweater and pants in the theater while I'm dripping sweat in my short shorts and sports bra. So, like, I don't get it.
It's just this is just year round.
That is
it. Could be negative zero. I'm in this. It could be 400 degrees. I'm in this. It's just easier that way.
That would no longer exist if it was 400 degrees. So
yeah. I mean, well, it feels like it. In here right now, it's just hot. Yeah, it's just hot.
That is correct. Yes,
I'm over it. Is that fan on?
For our listeners,
it is on.
It is hot in here. Sorry. Now listen, you have a choice to wear pants and a sweatshirt.
Yeah, you have to deal with it.
I'll sweat it out. That's all right.
It's okay. Last time this fan was on, and it was just blowing hot air. It wasn't doing much.
Excellent.
So. Yeah.
That's what I love to hear.
That's why you turn on a fan, right?
Yeah.
We got 3 more hours to go. We can do it. hopefully not.
How long is this podcast?
all right. We got to our beef. Now, who's got veggie?
We have veggie still.
Yeah.
I can go. Yeah. I started a new job this week.
Ooh.
And it seems not horrible.
That's huge.
Right?
That is the bare minimum.
Like, starting a new job, yeah. There's always, even if you liked everybody in the interviews or whatever, there's always a chance it's going to be horrible. And I'm pretty sure that it's not horrible. I mean, I can't be sure yet because it's only 1 week. But, like, it seems like all the people seem cool. They seem like they care about what they're doing. I work in corporate, so, like, there's always a chance that they might not be cool.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, I work in ed tech, so like we make software for teachers, so that like makes people maybe a little cooler, because it's like they actually want to, you know, help the children as opposed to making like banking software or something like that. So so it seems pretty cool. They seem flexible. There have been a couple of days already where I was like, I would like to leave early today so that I have enough time to eat, so that I can go to rehearsal. Yeah. And they were all like, ooh, what are you rehearsing for? And I was like, great. Okay, yeah, no, this will be fine.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's a good...
That's a good one.
A good veggie.
Yeah. Anyone else who wants to go next?
I don't know.
Not feeling grateful.
yesterday, I went to the Tuscarora picnic for the first time ever, and it was lovely.
I don't know anything about that.
So it's on the Tuscarora reservation, and I went with my parents, and it's just like a bunch of like vendors and food, and they do a smoke dance competition. And like, I've been to others in the area, but this one was like the nicest one that I have been to. Amazing. Like, there were just so many vendors, and it's like in a nice shaded little park. So even though it was like 80 whatever degrees yesterday, like it was nice and cool until like the wind blew the trees, and all of a sudden you're like, ah, the sun still exists. But yeah, that was really nice and fun. And next year I will take more money with me, because there were so many things I wanted to buy.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's awesome. I like stuff like that. Like, it's outside, so, like, I can do it for, like, 5 minutes, and I come out. Thank you. This is nice, but I'm out.
That's my partner is Seneca, and there's, like, a Seneca Fall Fest every year that is a similar thing, but it's in the fall.
Oh, that's nice. Well, and also, the Salamanca Powwow is next weekend, and for the first time ever, it's going to be indoors, because last year I just sat on the bleachers and was dying in the sun.
I mean, is the indoors air conditioned?
It is air conditioned because it's at the casino down there now.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
I love a smoke dance competition, especially like the under fives.
Oh my gosh, the tiny tots. They're so cute. They just kind of stand there and go, And sometimes they get real. Sometimes they get real into it. Other times they're just like staring at everything.
Yeah, it's so cute. But like in full regalia.
Yeah,
like,
full,
it's
yeah.
Beautiful. It's so, it's the best.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
It's a great veggie.
Yeah.
Did you get an Indian taco? Do you like it?
I did get an Indian taco to split with my parents. And I also had a schoon dog for the first time, which is just a hot dog with fry, like in fry bread.
Ooh.
It was delicious.
Okay, yeah, no, I will be eating one of those.
I feel like I don't know what an Indian taco is.
I don't.
So an Indian taco is fry bread, and then...
Do you know what fry bread is?
No.
No, fry bread? No.
It's. I feel like the closest thing to like explain it is kind of like fried dough, but more bread.
And it's like savory. Okay. It's not sweet.
It's not sweet.
Okay.
So it's kind of got like a fluffy texture and like a slightly crispy outside. And a lot of times it's kind of like
disc shape.
It's like it's anytime you go to a like a native event, they're always selling.
They're all either called like Native tacos or Navajo tacos or something like that. But then it's just the fry bread with pretty much any taco topping you can think of on
It's like a taco salad built on top of this delicious piece of fried bread.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And it is one of my favorite things to consume. I do, in fact, have an Indian taco bumper sticker on my car.
Oh, my God.
Because of how delicious they are.
They are so good.
We keep trying to make fry bread at home. It's like
it doesn't turn out the same.
It's not right. I don't know why.
Where does one
get
Indian tacos around here?
I mean, any, like... Like, we usually get them at the Seneca Fall Fest every year, like, at the different festivals.
Yeah, at the different festivals.
Yeah. Highly
recommend.
Make
it yourself.
There's no, like, restaurant that you can really go to in this area, at least, to get them. Which is, I would be there all of the time, so it could be better for my waistline and my pocket.
It's so good, though.
Sounds like an untapped market.
Yeah.
We get into. That's what I'm all about. I would love to own a restaurant. That'd be awesome.
I would love to eat food.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I got.
I would love, like, just one of those big grills, and you're just in the back, like, somebody's yelling at me orders, and I'm flipping their patties for them or something. That's awesome. That's the hope.
Sounds Branch hot. Out into a restaurant business.
Yeah. Yeah, it does sound hot. Like,
with
maybe,
your, like sweater and pants.
With my sweater. With my pants. Yes. All of it.
We have to be careful of grease splatters, too. It's for safety.
No, that's real. Because I've ruined many, many clothing pieces with that. Okay, my veggie, I somewhat mentioned it. We went to, it was Callum drove, my brother Mike, my friend Ryan, and Jenna. We planned on just going to Waffle House yesterday, and like close to Waffle House, like 2.5 hours away. Oh, like I needed a waffle in my life.
There aren't waffles closer?
Not Waffle House waffles.
But, you know, when you were telling me this plan the other day, I was like, when I was in my early 20s, some amount of time ago, I may have also driven 2.5 hours for a Waffle House, but I'm tired.
Well, I slept the whole time.
Okay,
like, in the car, I'm just sleeping with my neck in the worst position ever. But so we get out there, and they're like, well, Krispy Kreme's going to close first. So let's go there first. We get there first. We all get a dozen donuts and eat one and then put it in the back of the car. And we're like, you know what? We're by one of our favorite pizza places. Let's go. The pizza place is like an hour out from Krispy Kreme. We go there.
So you're by it.
We're by it. Yeah.
Close real, real close.
We go there. We get two large pizzas for four people because Cam got his own pizza.
Of course he did.
Two large pizzas.
Two large.
How large are these? They're largest.
So the three. So there are four of us. We're each supposed to have four slices, which is like, we got to cram this in. We have to,
on
like, make this
on top of donuts
work.
And
on
waffles?
On top of donuts. And then the waffles came later. But like, I had my four pieces. My brother had his four pieces. Ryan had his four pieces. Jenna tapped out. So then
I would
just
tap
one,
out too, Jenna.
Same, Jenna.
And it's so good. And, like, you don't get this pizza often. So,
what,
like, you got to just...
What is this place?
Mellow Mushroom.
Oh, there's one. Where'd you go?
Cleveland.
Oh, okay.
So, shout out Mellow Mushroom. They got a tie-dye pizza, it's called. It's awesome. And it's not on their menu.
It is very
good.
But
you just say, can I get a tie-dye pizza? They'll say, you know what? We don't have the ingredients. Then they go and they tell the cook, and the cook always like, yeah, I got you guys. And they always got you.
What makes it a tie-dye pizza?
It's got, like, curry chicken, cucumbers, like a Thai sauce on it.
Tie-dye.
Got it. Okay.
Got there. T-H-A-I.
And it's like a stoner, like, 70s, like, vibe restaurant. And, like, it's a chain in the South. It's, like, the closest it comes up is Cleveland. So we go there. We just plow through that pizza. Waffle House is an hour away in the
other
direction.
Hour.
Yeah, so we go. And
is it the same Waffle House we went to when we went to...
No.
Oh.
No, this is a different Waffle House. I've never been to this one before, I don't think. And so, like, everyone's full. But I get a waffle.
No.
I get a waffle. Mike gets two waffles.
Oh,
Mike is my brother.
God.
Who's, like, a fitness guy. Like, that's what he does.
He's bulking.
He's a personal trainer. He gets two waffles. He doesn't finish it. Jenna gets one waffle. I get one waffle. Callum gets, like, some kind of small sandwich. Ryan gets three waffles. With peanut butter chips on it. We're like, you have to finish it.
Oh,
and he
God,
does.
Of course he did. Oh,
he had four
my
slices
God.
Of pizza.
Oh, gosh.
Three big waffles. Have you guys been to Waffle House?
I have not.
I've never been to a Waffle House.
You got to get to one. first off. And then second off, they're pretty big and they're really good. Like, I don't know why they're so good.
They're actually really good.
If we leave now, we'll get
That's true. And he ate all three of them. And we're getting into the car afterwards, and like, I'm in the back seat sprawled out. We're getting in, and he just starts like dry heaving. And I don't think I've ever laughed so hard in my life, because I'm like, you just ate three waffles. That's why you're in this state. And he just sat there and slept the whole ride home. But like, that's pretty awesome.
That's like a hangover.
Yeah.
He has a real hangover from pizza and waffles. Well, that's donut.
That's what
and
I donut. Say. And donut.
Singular. Yeah.
That's what I say, because like, I don't drink or do anything like that. So like, my hangovers are always food related. It's like, I ate too many. I've never eaten three, though. Like, on an empty stomach, I couldn't eat three of those waffles. And he did it with four. So that's a real accomplishment. He was pushing himself. Like, he's like, I'm not hungry. I'm
but
full.
He's always pushing himself.
It was
with
awesome,
food.
Though. That was awesome. That's wow. My veggie.
Good for Ryan.
Mike has a video, I couldn't breathe. Like, I almost had an asthma attack because I was laughing so hard. Because this guy's like choking on the 30 waffles in his
This
in
is
his gullet.
Extra funny because it's called the veggie, and you just told a story of eating absolutely no vegetables.
There's cucumber on the pizza.
I was like, on the tie-dye.
Actually, cucumber is technically a fruit. You're welcome for that piece of trivia today.
I hate that.
So, damn.
I know. I hate it too, but it's still true.
All right, Alex, do you have anything?
I mean, I'll have a generalized veggie. The last 2 weeks have actually been really nice, and I haven't had anything to complain about. Nothing specific, just
That's
kind
great.
Of like good people, good activity. I don't know.
I mean, you
just
could always
time.
Say recording this episode of the podcast
with these new
yes.
people.
Yeah,
with
this. These. I mean, this adds to that. 2 weeks. There you go.
Crushed.
It's
it.
Been a nice 2 weeks. I haven't had anything to really like be mad about.
I feel like that's totally a good veggie. Most
Thanks.
Of the time, like, I have crap to complain about every day. So, like, if you go 2 weeks, that's great.
Yeah, but last time I said that, the next day was hell.
Oh, no.
I think you
no.
talked about that on the episode I listened to.
I talked about yeah. that on the Sean episode.
No, now you're going to have me thinking all day, so tomorrow something's going to happen.
Well, then next time, come prepared. all right, so that's all out of the way. Another veggie that hopefully we all can have is that the show's going in a good direction.
Yeah.
Like, I am happy with where we're at, and I said it at the end of last rehearsal, like, Tuesday, starting off, I walked up to Callum in the aisle, and I said, what are we looking at, man? I said, this is not... Everyone was a little bit off. Everything was just, like, restarting.
It was an off day, Tuesday.
It was an off day,
for
Tuesday.
For everybody, I think.
Oh, the day I came to see it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sorry about that.
We were on the struggle bus a little bit.
It was a vibe change when you walked in. Everybody was, like, in a great place, and then you walked in, and you're like, okay.
And I walked in.
Obviously, this is your fault.
Yes.
God, that's why I don't have any veggies.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you are everyone else's beef, and so
wow.
Oh, no.
Tell me how you really feel.
But no, and then Wednesday, like, everything was, like, flipped. Everyone was just, like, in a better spot. And Thursday, we finished off really strong. So I'm excited to get back into it because these are our last three rehearsals, which is horrifying. Horrifying.
It's fine. I'm fine with that. I mean, does it ever feel fine
no.
when you get to this point?
No.
It never feels fine.
Never.
It's always like, oh God, how is this going to happen?
Yes.
But I mean, like you said, we are in a good place. It's not like everybody's into it. Everybody knows their stuff and where they're supposed to be. And, you know, it's going to be good.
Yeah. It's weird because I don't know where to put my anxiety because usually it's just like, we're not going to finish the set. We're not going to finish these numbers. We're not going to do any of that. That's what it was last year. Now it's just like, okay, well, it's all finished. So like, what's going to happen that I have to like be prepared for? So that's what I'm trying to worry about and figure out. Like, we got three rehearsals to figure it out.
Then saying three rehearsals.
We got three of them. And then
we have next Monday and Tuesday. Those count, right?
But that's like full. Everybody's backstage, lights,
I mean,
sound.
Fair.
Like, you're running through the whole thing.
But
no,
there's still rehearsals.
Yeah, technically.
Don't take that away from
me. My father is coming Monday or Tuesday to give notes. And he's been doing this for his entire life. And my mother and Joanne, who have directed the musicals until I took over, are coming Tuesday to give notes.
Oh, so it's like
no pressure.
Right.
So they're not rehearsals. We're all being judged.
Yes. But for Sweeney Todd, like when that came up, I was like, I'm done. Like this, I couldn't sleep. Like I was actually like really scared. Now I'm just like, yeah, they'll see it. They're going to like it.
Mm. And what's not to like?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm kidding. No.
He's got beef he didn't share.
I'm just full of beef. I'm full of beef. And there's no beef on that pizza. But no, we're in a good spot. So I'm excited to open. Come see the show. Opens July 25th, runs through August 4th. We did a poster run yesterday. And this was Shades of Old Poster Runs. So Tracy, you guys have met Tracy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tracy's awesome. So she always does the poster runs, but she's on vacation, a well-deserved vacation this week. And so it's always her and like an army of children going out and attacking stores with posters.
Sure.
So like, that's awesome. We tried to do one. It was Carla and I, and we're like, we told the whole cast of a show, like, we're doing a poster on Saturday, show up, like we're going to get coffee and like just go everywhere and hang them up. I don't even drink coffee. And we were the only two who showed up.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry.
We put them up at the library, and then we're like, oh, we're kind of done. But like, no, this Callum, Jenna, Will, and one of our guards, they showed up. Claire was there. And they attacked. They attacked for everyone. But I was just like, this is what I remember, and this is why I don't poster run. Because then you just deflated. You're like, oh, can you take this poster, please? And I hate asking. That's the worst thing ever. Mm. Could we hang this poster
it's
up?
It's the worst.
It's awful. I hate human interaction to begin with. So then now it's like, could you do this? Could you do a favor for me, stranger?
Says the musical director.
That's Hates. Different.
Okay.
That's different.
Sure.
Because like I... Like, with both of you guys, like, I know you as actors first, and then it's, like,
people
you guys.
Second.
People second.
People second. Yeah.
Like, we don't talk off stage a lot. There's, like, 400 of you guys. So, like, now this is where
us.
It happens. This is where...
I thought we were best friends, DJ.
Well, we have communicated more. So, you got a map. You got a drawing.
I did. I got a beautiful drawing of a map on how to get to this place and
but
still
that
got should lost.
Have been your beef. And you still got lost.
I did.
We were very close. We just walked to the wrong side of the building to try and find the boys.
Yeah, so it was almost a really good map.
Almost.
It just needs an X marks the spot.
Yes. That's like the one. The thing that you would like put to start is right here is where you go. But I just got carried away like, all right, house is here.
It's a very nice map. It's very detailed. Just didn't tell me where to go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, okay, so we're in a good spot. Which brings us to, how did you guys find out about this theater at all? And why was it Jesus Christ Superstar that you decided to come in on?
Either one of you.
Who wants to go first?
Yeah.
I will go.
Okay, decision making. I'm like, I'm an actor. I just get told what to do.
I found out about this theater from Trevor.
Shout out Trevor.
Wonderful. Always shout out Trevor because he's the best. I was just in a production of Spelling Bee with Trevor with Rocking Horse Productions. And then he was like, this theater that I like to do stuff with is doing Jesus Christ Superstar this summer. And I was like, well, I can't do another show that close to the show I just did because, you know, we were talking about this like the week we opened Spelling Bee, right? And I was like, I probably am not going to do another show this year, like later. This is my first show back, or Spelling Bee was my first show back after having a child. So I was like, I need a break. And then like 2 weeks after Spelling Bee closed, I was like, when are Jesus Christ? Because, but I mean, apart from that, I maybe wouldn't have done it if I didn't love Jesus Christ Superstar so much. But I love the music in the show. It's one of the first musicals that I learned like every word to as a child, which, you know, little weird for a child to be into Jesus Christ Superstar. But it was this and Fiddler on the Roof and Les Mis. There's a theme, which is trauma. but yeah, so I was like, well, I don't even care who I would be in it. I just want to sing the music in Jesus Christ Superstar. So then Trevor sent me a lot of excited capital letters when I told him that I was going to audition. Now I get to hang out with him all the time, which is great. So that's how I got here.
Now, did he say this like during a show?
like,
did he tell you this during a show about auditions?
Like during a performance?
Yes.
I think we mentioned it prior to, like, during a show. There's not really room to talk during Spelling Bee.
Okay.
Because you are, everyone's on stage the whole time.
Well, intermission.
Oh, that's true. I mean, there is an intermission. Yeah. I think he told me about it before that, but then we were talking about it more during the actual shows.
Because then I'll take credit for you, because I sent him a text message that said, I want all these people.
I believe he did tell me that. Yes. He was like, the director was like, tell everyone to go audition. And I was like, I don't know what having a lisp and playing a 10-year-old is going to get me in Jesus Christ Superstar, but I'll try it.
I didn't know either, but like, you all had a good energy and we're all into it. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I want. I want these people. And I got a lot of them.
You got a good handful of us, yeah.
All right, what about you?
So I actually, the first time I ever knew about Ghostlight, I was in second grade, and my grandmother brought me to see Little Women at the Riviera.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so Ghostlight was my first ever play that I saw.
That is...
And I find it wild that it is taking me this long to audition for a show here.
Yeah.
I do shows everywhere, but you guys do auditions, like, later.
Yes.
Like, you do them so close to when your production opens that normally I'm like, oh, I can't audition. I'd love to, but I already have something at that time.
You're in such high demand. I'm so...
Except for this season. but yeah, so it just happened. I was like, I love Jesus Christ Superstar. I normally refuse to do a summer show. So like the fact that I'm even doing one, I was like, oh, I kind of remember why I say no to doing shows, just because there's so much to do during the summer in Buffalo.
Yeah.
But I was like, Jesus Christ Superstar, I've always wanted to work with Ghostlight. I have the free time. I'm not going, like, this is great. This is perfect. So
I get to hang out with Hilda again.
Yes. And the other Danielle, which has caused a little bit of confusion.
Yes.
Which Danielle?
That is wild. I didn't know that. That is so cool. And then, we do, everywhere else around here seems to do auditions for everything at once.
Yeah, like a year in advance.
Yes, which we don't. So like that, then a lot of people are like, well, I'm already booked for the year.
Which is nice if you aren't booked to be like, oh, there are still auditions coming up in the future.
Yeah, I have no plans on changing that. I like that. Because then you see everybody like right before it happens. Like, I don't know. I feel like.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
I just have no idea what I am going to be doing or will want to be doing 1 year from now.
Right.
I barely know, like, a month from now. So planning that far ahead is a lot for me.
No, I agree. That would be really tough. Like, oh, next year I got to make sure these dates are clear. Like, I just kind of go with the wind. Like, whatever happens, happens.
And I feel like it's easier for me. Like, I'm a single person. I don't have kids. Like, I can be like, yes, I am available whenever. But if you're, like, trying to base your, like, be like, okay, I have children and, like, these events are going to be happening or, like.
And my partner is a competitive pickleball player.
That's real?
Wow.
I mean, it's not. When I say competitive, I don't mean, like, they're not, like, going out and playing in professional leagues. But when I'm not in a show, they play in, like, 3 or 4 pickleball leagues a week.
Gotcha.
So I have to plan these things in advance so that they don't, like, have to, you know.
Someone has to be there for the child.
We are a house of nerdy hobbies. And, yes, someone does
pickleball is
be
fun.
There for my child.
Pickleball is awesome.
Yeah. Pickleball is the best. I have absolutely no athletic prowess, but decent hand-eye coordination, so I can fake my way through pickleball. I did, in fact, win a trophy at pickleball yesterday, which is why I was not at the poster run. I was too busy winning a pickleball trophy.
Oh, okay, there we go.
That's right.
That's
there were 8 people. And 3 trophies were given out. It was not like it was.
That's awesome. When are we going to play? I would love to play pickleball.
Well, my partner and I pretty much year-round play in an LGBT and Allies league on Saturday mornings. It's in Williamsville. It's through Rally Niagara, and it is a lot of fun. But they also have just open play all the time. And, you know, there's a million parks around and stuff that just have pickleball courts. I was trying to organize cast pickleball one day, and then everyone in the cast who I talked to was like, I do not sport. And I was like, no, I get that, because me neither.
But
it's called pickleball. Like, how sport can it really be? It's got, like, you know, it's called pickleball. It doesn't sound
you get into it.
People do.
Dude, it's fun.
I
want to play.
I sweat like a dog during that. Like, that's how you get in there.
Yeah. But it's
a
good time.
I love that. It is. Yeah, no, you find that more and more because I like I said before, like, I love playing football, and like trying to get people to play is always like, I don't catch balls and I don't throw balls. And it's like,
I'm one of those.
But we play at the cast party every summer. And, like, usually, like, people are like, bring their children. So then it's like Callum and I versus an army of children.
That sounds like exactly what I was picturing in my head when you started this.
It's kind of awesome, though. Like, the one, her name's Amelia, and she, we have a bunch of kids at the theater, and she's one of the kids there, and she's really small. So they're like, all right, let's put her in at quarterback. And so it's like, everyone's like, okay, like, the guys will go easy on them, right? They're a bunch of kids. Callum's standing in front of her, arms up, and Callum's way taller.
Yeah, he has a wingspan, yeah.
She can't see over him, so she can't get the ball over him. And then, like, all their kids would come in and be like, oh, like, this is their first time throwing, and throw, and, like, I'd be waiting in the wings, just, like, come in, pick them off, and just run, like, just destroy them. And it's fun. It's actually a fun time.
I believe
it is fun.
Destroying kids in football. Like, it's kind of awesome.
You know, we all have our own fun.
That's true. You guys sing and dance. I like
destroy
to play football.
Destroy
children in football. Like, that's awesome.
Right. I forgot to.
F football.
Destroying children.
No. I try to build people up.
Unless
it's on the football field.
All right. So how did you guys get into acting? Well, first, okay. Are you more of an actor or are you more of a musical person? I don't know what the correct term is.
Like actor first, singer, or singer first?
Yeah.
So I started with musicals in fifth grade. And I did not understand how people did plays. But now I am more of a play person than a musical person.
Okay.
Ooh.
Wait, sick and watch in
like
way?
The good sick.
Okay.
I don't really use it. I'm kind of a both. I do singing outside of theater also because I just love to sing and I love musicals, but I'm kind of picky about my musicals. So I guess I'm also kind of picky about my plays. Am I just picky? I guess I'm picky. But I love acting. I had a lot more confidence in acting before I had confidence in singing. In particular, I do love to do Shakespeare. Is like one of my favorite things to do. But I just kind of like being on stage, I guess, is the thing.
No, that's fair. More and more, like, what it used to be in the theater was always, like, you had your musical people, and then you had your your play people.
Yeah.
And, like, they just never mixed. And now we're seeing more of a mix, which I love. Like, I think that's awesome to, like, come in for a musical and then stay throughout a whole season. Like, Trevor did that last year, hoping he does it again. I love Trevor. Sean Ward talks all the time about, like, I came in for the shows, so you got to know me just so I can do the musical. And then he's like, along the way, I like fell in love with doing the shows. And it's like, that's awesome. Cause I'm a play person, like,
yeah,
through and through, not just acting wise, but like directing. Like, I'd rather direct a play than a musical.
That's fair.
It's just way easier. And you usually get to work with smaller groups and like, all right, let's work towards something. Like Jesus Christ Superstar is like, let's just sing this song and move on. Cause the next scene has nothing to do with this. And it's plays are a little more linear than most musicals.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's just easier to go through. Alex, what about you? We'll bring you on the hot seat here.
I'm more of a play person, I'll say. Although I do love musicals. I grew up loving musicals, wanting to be in them, but I was always an actor first, so I just gravitated towards plays. I also like the storylines in plays that are more concrete than musicals.
Yes.
For the most part. But I'm not the person that's like, I hate musicals, I will only do plays. Like, I love musicals,
too.
That
used to be me.
Yeah. I was never like that.
I used to have a vendetta against them.
Wow.
And I'm like, I'm done with them. They're done. And
no, then, I always loved musicals. Like, but I will say, in school, like you mentioned, people were always more interested in the musicals.
Yeah.
And then I was the kid, like, well, why isn't anyone interested in the plays? Just because you can't, like, especially people who don't sing. It's like,
right.
But everyone was always, it was always the musicals that was like the main big yes. thing.
My school didn't do any plays at Lancaster when I was there. Oh. So there was just the one musical every year. So
that's why people are.
Yeah. So there was like no way for me to get introduced to plays until I was in like my mid-20s was when I auditioned for my first one. And it was like, I was like, how do you memorize everything when there isn't a song and there's no dancing?
Yeah, we always did a fall play and a spring musical. And I will say I initially auditioned for the play just like, I was like, sure, I mean, whatever. And then I did, so I did Noises Off in high school. And if anyone is familiar with that show, it is very silly and ridiculous. And I had plates of sardines dumped on my head and down my shirt. And like, you know, it's a bunch of people putting on a play. So like act one is the actual set of the play, and one of the characters is the director who's like sitting in the audience, and yeah, you know, and then act two is backstage of a performance. So you flip the set around and it's like a door slammer. So it's just like, it's just a farce. It's just silly. So like everyone's running around backstage, and then act three is, you turn it back around and it's the stage of a performance when everything has just gone downhill. Like, you know, all the actors have like dated and then broken up. So there's all these vendettas against each other and like, it's just silly. And so I was in that play and I was like, oh, plays are fun.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Yeah, my first play was Arsenic and Old Lace. I got to play Elaine, and it was, I'm like, this is so much fun. I want to do it again.
Yeah.
And now I've been doing a mixture of plays and musicals for like the past 10 years.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, there's something about plays that just like, I don't sing, so like I'm sure that has a small bit to do with it.
Possibly.
And I can't dance. I can't dance to save my life. So like I feel like it's just a mixture of everything I can't do. But I don't know. I just, there's more to a play that I like. But then like in high school or the middle school or grade school, whatever the hell you call it, I feel like they would always pick the worst plays ever. And then they would do something like fun at the end of the year, and you're like, oh, like that's why everyone does a musical, because like it's more fun. But also, it's easier to get an audience for a musical. It's like, oh, sing, dance, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Count me in. Which is then where I come in and destroy that. And then like I did Sweeney Todd at the theater, and like our audience was not prepared for that, because they're used to like Joseph and Shout and like these fun Music Man stuff like that. And then, like, Sweeney Todd, like, blood is, like, spurting out almost into the front row. And, like, it's that's what I like.
Me
too. It's awesome. It's so fun. That's what I love. But, I don't know. Maybe you get more of that in plays. Maybe you don't. But, like, also, my dad's been a playwright his whole life. So, like, reading his stuff and, like, doing his stuff is, like, my favorite thing to do.
That's super cool.
Yeah. We're doing two of his originals right after this closes. Auditions are literally Tuesday and Wednesday after this closes.
Dang.
And we slip right into those two. So that's, and then right after that is his adaptation of Christmas Carol. So either you are looking to do anything until the next musical, there's plenty of plays.
I was like, I am not available.
Oh, yes. Remember, high demand. High demand. I probably have to take at least a little time to let my partner play pickleball, but like, not that much time.
Not that much time.
They're in a Saturday league and a Sunday league right now, so we figured out that that can work so that I don't have rehearsal on those days.
Oh.
You know? So then we just have to figure out the all the other nights.
Every other night. Do they play indoor during the winter?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, even in the summer, most of our leagues are indoor in an air-conditioned space, air quotes for those who are listening, air-conditioned in the same way that the theater is. In that it exists in there. But how cool are you, really?
Right. Right. I can't wait till we add the lights.
Oh, and costumes. Because I'm like, right now I'm wearing like as little as I can at rehearsals.
And still just
melting.
Yes,
I was like, are we doing laundry every day after the show? Because it's going to get real smelly.
Like, no joke. I hope so.
That was last year in Sweeney Todd when I was wearing the big cape, the heavy one, up top.
Ugh.
I was like dying. So I could only imagine other people.
Well, I just walked through and do my guard stuff. And I come off and I'm sweating. I'm like, oh man, this is not good. Like, doing all the dancing that you guys do and the
going from the Herod dance and then having to go and stand and sing a really pretty song when I'm like still trying to catch my breath.
I was talking to, I don't even remember who it was, but one of the other Herod dancers, and they were saying that as they go to stand still in Could We Start Again, Please, because you can't move, they were just like, feeling the beads of sweat like roll off the tip of their nose because you can't do anything about it. You have to just hold the candle.
Yeah, that's the best. That's
amazing. This is why
that's the feeling
the
you chase, right?
The sweat dripping off your nose that you can't wipe off.
So where did you guys get, you kind of touched on it, where did you get your start? You said fifth grade?
Yeah, so I, because of seeing Little Women, I got obsessed. And I was like, I want to do theater. And I kept on pestering my parents. And they found the Lancaster Youth Bureau did summer productions. And it was one of their like anniversary shows. So they were allowing younger people to audition for it. So my first musical was Oliver.
Okay.
And I got to play not a little thief. I was a little police officer.
What a start.
Yeah. And then I just kind of every year, then I got into middle school and it was just doing like the school show every year. And then in high school doing the summer show and the like yearly production. And then I stopped doing theater. I was like, oh, I guess I'm done, because I had to like go to school and like get a real job and be an adult. And I was like, I don't have time for it anymore. And then 10 years ago, I went to an audition for Grease out at Aurora Players. And I've been doing theater nonstop since then.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Love that for you. Well, my mother likes to tell the story of how when I was a toddler and I was upset, you know, you do anything to calm down an upset toddler, right? And one day my mom, we had the two VHS set of Fiddler on the Roof. And she figured out that putting on Fiddler on the Roof got me to stop crying. So I was watching that as a toddler, and then she would like take me to musicals when she could. Like, we would go see all the local stuff. And then sometime over the course of my childhood, the 10th anniversary concert version of Les Mis aired on PBS. I'm looking at you because
I don't know.
I'm assuming maybe other people
when
here are too young.
But I know it. I'm like,
but it's a, like, it's such a good, it's like, for me, it's the Les Mis that like to listen to. And so then my high school was doing Les Mis when I was in middle school. So I auditioned to play Little Cosette.
Aww.
And I did not get it. But true to this is the thing I've carried with me into an adulthood. When I don't get a part, I usually ask for feedback because I want to know, like, what could I have done differently for next time if I'm ever in this position again? The feedback that I got was that I was not small or blonde enough to match the adult Cosette.
Oh my God.
And I was like 11 years old. And I was like, okay, so I'm never doing theater again because this is horrible. So I kind of like shirked it for a little while. And then when I got into high school, my freshman year, they were doing Brigadoon. And I was like, I guess I'll audition. But my high school, the musicals were really competitive and usually freshmen didn't get in. Like, it was a whole big thing. And then I got in and some of the upperclassmen were like so mad. I mean, I was just in the ensemble. It's not like I was like doing anything. And then I was in Brigadoon, and then I was like, do I even like musicals? Because turns out Brigadoon
is
maybe
not
one of my favorites.
Yeah.
But I did make friends doing it, and they convinced me to do the play the next fall, which was the play version of MASH.
The TV series?
Why is that?
Are you?
Thing?
I don't know.
You're just getting bad.
I know.
Recommendation.
But then, you know, even doing that, I was like, maybe I don't actually really love plays and musicals, but I do like to be on stage. Like, I'm enjoying that part of it. And then that fall, that spring, we did Ragtime. Mm-hmm. Which is a great musical, and
you're like, finally something good.
I was like, oh, I want to be in this. And then I got to play Emma Goldman, which is amazing. She's just an actual historical anarchist. She just does a lot of yelling in that show. It's great. And then I was like, oh, if theater can be like this, then that was probably when I decided I wanted to go to theater school. And then I just kind of only did stuff I liked after that. Turns out if you do shows you like, you have more fun. So it's a little slow start for me, but I made it there.
I'm and still figuring that out too.
I've only been in like, I don't know, maybe like 8 or 9 shows total, because I did the same thing after college when I decided I didn't want to do theater for my career. I was like, well, I can't do shows anymore. Like, I have to work and be a grown-up person. But especially now that I work from home, it's so much easier for me to figure out just like doing stuff. So I think this is my 7th musical ever.
That's wild. You would think you...
Yeah, I thought that you did a lot more, that you've done a lot more.
Thanks. Nope.
That is really cool. What's a favorite one you've done? Musical and then play.
Oh, that's a hard question. Probably my favorite play I've done is I did Comedy of Errors it's a Shakespeare play. It's just dumb. It's like his like, you know, slapstick stupid plays. But I did it at the Palace and with the Lockport Palace, and we had such a great cast of people. It was awesome. The director was great. So I think that's my favorite play I've done. It was fun because, like, most of my friends haven't seen me do Shakespeare. So, like, being able to do it, I have a pretty good understanding of the language, which is one of the things I definitely took out of theater school. So, probably my favorite play. My favorite musical, it might be Spelling Bee. I wanted to play Schwartzy in Spelling Bee forever. I auditioned for it in college and didn't get it. And it has, like, haunted me in the back of my mind ever since. But as far as musicals I like to listen to that I've been in, it would be Bright Star. I was in the ensemble / understudy Lucy, I performed the last weekend of performances with Aurora Players with the lovely Danielle Burning in the lead role, which is where we met. But Bright Star is such a great show. Very like folksy, bluegrassy music. It's lovely. Also, the craziest experience, because I was not technically the understudy. I just learned a part in a weekend because she couldn't go on stage.
Because she hurt her back and she couldn't go on. So
they told me on Wednesday afternoon, and I went on Friday night.
Wow. That's horrible.
It was very impressive.
It was the wildest thing I've ever done. I was just in a fugue state about 72 hours. But I did it, so hope it was okay. I don't remember it.
I was like, you were great.
Thanks. So were you.
Oh, thank you.
We did it.
So Bright Star was actually my first lead role in a musical, and it was a wild one to start with as your first lead in a musical, because you flip back and forth between being like a teenager and a woman in like her late 30s.
Okay.
And it goes back and forth the entire time, like explaining her past and then slipping to the future and like where she is now. And I just had such a good experience with it. I have a tattoo of it now because I loved it so much.
Wow. I just want to throw it out there. It's also extremely vocally demanding, that role. Like, the lead in that role sings almost every song.
Yeah.
It is, it's wild.
And I had been doing plays for a while at that point. So I was like, how do I memorize music? I don't remember how to memorize music anymore.
You want to memorize it? You sing alone? Because that's what you did.
Yeah.
Wow. Were all your productions in Western New York or elsewhere?
Mine have all been here.
Mine have all been here as well.
What was your favorite play?
My favorite play was probably Charlotte's Web that I got to do with Rocking Horse at the Lancaster Opera House, because at that time I had been doing silks and like other aerial things. So I was playing Charlotte and we worked silks into the show.
So cool.
That I got to do that while playing her. And it was like it was physically challenging because it was a weekend of shows that with like children's performances, school day performances during the week. So it was like an entire week of just doing silks every single day, sometimes twice a day.
That is wild.
So it was, but it was such a great experience.
That's awesome.
I also want to give a shout out to the play I didn't do that would have been my favorite play, probably. I always forget to talk about this because it didn't happen because of COVID.
COVID.
But I had just gotten cast as the lead in Rabbit Hole, which, if you're not familiar with that play, it is very depressing. I really like to do either really stupid, funny plays or like really...
You like to make people
really
cry or make them laugh very hard.
Yeah, and Rabbit Hole was a play that I like... I read and digested and did projects on in theater school. It's about a couple who's dealing with the loss of their child. So cheery.
Awesome.
Totally.
That's like,
cheery.
I think that's like stuff DJ and I like. We like the emotional.
Read that play. It is so good. But it was, that's like a dream role of mine. I got cast in it. We had 3 rehearsals.
Mm. Oh,
and then COVID happened.
That's heartbreaking.
And I was talking to the director, you know, I don't know, 6 months later or something. And I was like, do you think like we would try to do this after after things left? And he was like, I'm really sorry, but like probably not. When all the restrictions get lifted, we probably don't want to start with a play about the loss of a child. And I was like, no, that makes sense. I almost got to do this bucket list role. And then I didn't, but crossing my fingers that someday I get the opportunity to do it again. And if you like depressing plays, but like poignant, you know,
yeah.
it's just a great play.
I'll have to look into it. It sounds fantastic.
It's appealing, yeah. It's just so well written.
Yeah. No, I do. Yeah, I like stuff that like makes you think more than I like something that's just here it is. Or yeah. I hate comedy. I don't like to.
What? Comedy can make you think too, though.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just...
He doesn't sound like he believes you.
No. yeah, it can, but like I don't know, it's just not. I don't like when somebody's on stage or like in a movie and like you can just tell like I'm being funny, I'm gonna make you laugh. It's like
that's just not your type of comedy.
Cringe. No, I like when there's like a comedic thing like in a show, like that just happens, like it just feels natural. And you're like, great, that's awesome. But like comedy's just joke. You're like, okay,
I get it.
Not for me.
It's for me, but
no, yeah, yeah. But like, I'd much rather like cry at a show than laugh. I feel.
I honestly, yeah. Same. Also for performing, I'd usually rather make people cry,
yes,
than laugh.
So I had mostly done comedies and like always got like cast in like the bit parts, like the funny parts. So I was like living for like those little laughs. And yeah. Then I did Bright Star, where I got to make people cry, and I'm like, oh, this is powerful.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm so powerful.
Like, that show is like if you're not careful, you could cry like 4 or 5 times during it. It's Bright Star has a lot going on.
It's got so much going on.
The plot is wild. It's like, it sort of makes sense. Some
sort of. I mean, like, spoilers, it is this girl gets pregnant when she is a teenager. The child gets taken away. She thinks it's out there adopted and like living a great life. And then they find out that it got thrown off a train.
Wow.
By the father-in-law, basically. But then there's another twist, spoilers, where she finds out that he's alive and she's been working with him the entire time and just didn't know that it was her son.
Wow.
Whoa.
So like,
it's a wild time.
Yeah.
But it also like it also has like a lot of like uplifting, like it's very uplifting, like
sometimes
it is
in weird moments like, Sun Is Gonna Shine is like, there's this whole uplifting song like right at
as Alice is leaving,
it's,
yeah,
like the worst moment, and I'm like, she's just okay after this, or because I don't think I'd be you're gonna just like be like, the sun is gonna shine, and then we're like, oh, all right,
yeah.
Not upset about my baby getting thrown off a train, we're all good.
She didn't know it at that point yet.
Oh, that's true. That's
yeah.
true.
So
true.
She thought that it was just being adopted.
Still upsetting. Like, after it was literally
ripped out
of her
yeah.
arms.
And then put in a suitcase, which made people in the theater giggle every single night.
It did, yeah.
And I was like, oh.
That's not funny.
I'm, like, laying on the ground, and I'm, like, sobbing. And people are like, ha-ha, the baby's in a suitcase.
That's the best. That's always the best. We did a show called Here We Sit that my dad wrote that's, like, about theater and about audiences. And there are like some like heartwarming pieces throughout the comedy. So like, it was always so uncomfortable, like when they started and like the audience has to transition from laughing,
yeah,
to like being
like,
serious.
Oh.
And like they say something and the audience like, haha, and they're like, nope, that's just not funny.
Nope, that's over now. That's,
yeah.
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 Also, doing like sadder shows, you realize that people like uncomfortable laugh a lot.
Yes.
And you have to be like, oh, that poor person, they feel real embarrassed right now.
I did in college. I played Joanne in Company, which is also one of my. I'm like, all the roles I've played, I guess, are maybe my favorites. I could just be this. But at the end of Ladies Who Lunch, every night I didn't get applause, and that was my most favorite thing because everyone was like so. Because that song by the end is just uncomfortable. Like, she's drunk and mad, and like, there's
and people and are like, do we?
There was like one clap one night, and everyone else was just like, and then I was like, I did it. I did the thing. It's weird to like not want applause. Yeah. But, like, you know.
You just knew you did what you were supposed to do then.
Powerful.
Yeah, right.
You're just like, I have power over this room. So cool.
Yeah, that's a great feeling. Yeah, I feel like I'd much rather make people feel that or feel uncomfortable than laugh.
Yeah, bringing it back to Jesus Christ Superstar, I watched Superstar for the first time the other night because I was doing my understudy track, so I wasn't dancing in it as normal. And just like, I mean, DJ, it was just you standing in front of the cross. It wasn't even Lucas. Like, it wasn't, but watching someone get like put up there while everyone's go-go dancing, I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
This is so uncomfortable. Even though I knew it was happening the whole time, watching it was horrible in like the best way. So that's going to be great.
There's a lot of religious people who love it. And I watched the 2012 with Callum and I was like, why?
I don't know.
He's in a prison garb. He gets whipped 39 times. This is not a spoiler because it's thousands of years of old.
No, it's definitely
stories.
A spoiler.
And like, he gets whipped in front of you, so you watch that, and then I think in the 2012 he's just put up there like immediately, and they all do Superstar around him, and he's just like pouring blood, screaming, and the audience is like, yeah, that's awesome.
I thought it was glitter that he gets thrown at him.
I saw it. And I leaned over to Callum. I'm like, come on, man.
There's so much glitter in that show. I'm like, they just must always have glitter on them, like all
forever.
Of the forever.
Everywhere.
You don't clean it. And it's on the stage. Like, that is part of the stage now. Yeah, that, I don't know, like, whip them. Like, you got to feel it, I feel. I did not feel glitter.
I mean, you're the one doing the whipping. Spoilers,
well, now,
so.
Yes. Now I am doing the whipping. Because it's, I don't know, it's got to be real, I feel.
Well, that's, I believe what you said to me was, that's the star of my show. I don't trust anyone else to whip him.
Well, yeah, that's true, too. Because I asked the cast, like, all right, you guys have, like, any friends who want to come in and do guards? Because, like, nobody... If you don't sing, you're not going to audition for a musical.
Yeah.
And you don't just want to sit around and be like, all right, like, oh, come on for this scene, whip a guy and leave. If you're sane.
I mean, sometimes.
If you're sane. And so I was asking for friends. We got a couple friends. I'm like, wait. I came in one day and I'm looking at Callum. I'm like, bro, we're going to trust somebody that we don't know to full on whip our Jesus.
With rainbow yarn.
With rainbow yarn. No, we don't. So now we're in the show. Which makes it so easy to direct and be in a show. And
yeah, so easy.
Do it all. But yeah, no, and yeah, that's all I'll say. But yeah, I feel like that's one of my favorite scenes of the whole thing because it's so like
because it's
uneasy.
A long time. You're counting till 39, yeah. So it's like
feels even longer when you're in it.
The first time we did it, I was so uncomfortable that I just like took a minute out of character.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this is wild with us like feral on the sides.
Yes.
And then him getting whipped in the middle. It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
It's yucky. I like that we're counting now, though. That helps.
It gives. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
It's just like, I don't know. Because it's like, usually it's my problem. Usually, like, people are like, I'm uncomfortable, and it's not really in this story. You're making it uncomfortable. Now it's just like, this is the story.
It's
like, the
just
story
uncomfortable.
Is uncomfortable,
yeah,
and you like it. You bought a ticket because you like this. This is on you.
It's on you.
And so that's, I at least feel good in that. I'm like, okay, it's not me making it uncomfortable. It's just a very uncomfortable show.
Yeah. No, that, and a very uncomfortable scene in an uncomfortable show.
Yeah.
And it's so opposite of who I am as a human to just be like, yeah, whip that person.
Yeah.
I love it.
Is that what you're yelling?
I love it.
Well, that was intimidating the first time we did it. And I was just like, everyone like really get into it and yell and stuff. And usually like it takes weeks to ramp up to that. And the way this ensemble reacted was like horrifying.
It was awful.
It was,
I mean,
it was
in the best way.
It was, yeah.
Then, but like, it was,
it
awful.
Was, yeah, it was weird to be like in the crowd and just be like, oh, looking at poor Lucas being like, yeah. Yeah.
And he's the best guy ever. So it's like, this guy is,
he's just a sweetie.
This.
Yeah. You don't, and then he's so into it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's I was talking to him after it one day, and I was like, can you just be less good of an actor because you're making it way worse? And then he told me his secret, which is that he told me the numbers where he,
yes,
like, changes his
tactic,
basically. And so now that I know that, it's a little easier for me to, like,
right,
remove digest myself from this man in pain in front of me. And he was like, I changed tactics on 12. 12's my favorite number. And I was like, okay, well, I guess he's looking forward to that one.
So. We were talking about it. We're like you shouldn't be screaming the whole time because, one, you're going to ruin your voice. And, two, like, it's just not as powerful. So he's like, okay, like, on 12, I'm like, oh, so, like, he's, like, mathematically figuring this out.
Yes.
And he's like, no, 12 is my favorite number. And I'm like, oh, sure. Yeah, you're
perfect.
Yeah. And the one night, one of the other guards wasn't there, so Callum was just holding his one arm back. And so his other arm was just kind of flailing. And I'm whipping him, and the whip itself doesn't hurt, but, like, the part that I'm holding hurts. Like, that's a heavy thing. And I'm whipping him. I'm getting into it. And then I whip his hand as hard as possible with the hard part. And I'm like, I felt horrible. And I go off stage. I run to him, like, I'm so sorry. Like, he's like, what are you talking about? I didn't feel anything. I'm like, you're a freak. But you're awesome. Like, that's, like, good for him.
Say this with love. You're a freak.
You're a freak.
No one else but a freak could go from playing William Barfay immediately into playing Jesus.
No. No.
That is a wild time.
I really wish we recorded the reaction after he left. And it's so hard because everyone's on the stage and then they have to walk down all the way around to the back, down the stairs, and we have to listen to the door. And as soon as the doors close, I'm like, what are we doing? What are we doing that he comes out and he gets this after being a loser in Spelling Bee? Makes no sense.
Range. We love Range.
Range. It's crazy. Crazy. But we love Lucas. Love, love, love Lucas. We have to have him back on the pod after he's done the Jesus thing. And then
I know. I haven't
After he's
met
done
him.
The Jesus
I've seen
thing.
Him. I haven't met him.
Were you? Oh, you weren't here for that episode.
I wasn't.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Wow.
So we have to have him back.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's just awesome. I can't say enough good stuff about him. But everybody in the cast is incredible. Like, I think this is one of the best sung. And Elena came up after, and she's like, I've never heard a noise produced from, like, an ensemble like that ever. And I'm like, yeah, it just kind of happened. Like, none of us can take credit for it. It literally just, like, day one singing happened. We're like, oh, wow, okay.
I mean, you could even see it at the, I was going to say read through. We didn't read anything. The
yeah.
sing through or
sing
whatever.
Through, yeah.
There were so many of us there who already knew every word.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many people who
yeah, there's
love
a lot
this
of fan-
show.
Yeah, a lot of fans
show.
Of the show.
Yeah, which I think definitely adds something to it. Like, I don't think I've ever been in a show where everybody came in.
No.
Love, ensemble, like, knowing it, like, and loving it.
Yeah.
Like, so many of us are like, oh, yeah, like, I saw Jesus Christ Superstar, and I, like, had to audition for it. Because, like, it's not done often in
no.
this area at all. So for me, I was like, I'll give up a summer for it. Like,
yep.
I'm excited to give up my summer for a chance to, like, dance around to these numbers.
Yep.
Which I'm glad that's taken in, because I like doing shows that aren't done a lot around
yeah.
here. And, like, people like different shows.
I get excited when I see new shows, because, like, you can only audition and see Guys and Dolls so many times.
Yes.
I will
yes.
not be auditioning for Guys and Dolls. Take notes on that.
Yeah, I don't think that's on your radar.
Not on my radar, even slightly. I hate Guys and Dolls.
Lovely.
It's
not for me.
No. It's not for me either. And I want to stay away from, like, some of the old ones, like Music Man, Fiddler on the Roof, Sound of Music. I don't know. Those are, yeah. Not for me.
I'm like, other people are doing them. It's fine.
Yeah. Like, if you want to be in those, you have opportunities.
Yes.
So,
Yeah. What do you guys like about Superstar?
Oh, yeah. Good question.
I mean, I think for me, part of it is, like, the time it was written, and I feel that the music in it is reflective of music at that time. So there's a lot of, because it's kind of a rock score, but it is still a musical. Like, it feels like a musical.
Yeah.
But it's a fusion of these two things that I love so much, which is rock music from that era and kind of the, I don't know, some more of, like, the melodic things and the recurring themes, etc., that come out of a musical. For me, it has absolutely nothing to do with the story or the plot at
yes.
all. Those are just there. It is. But that's, like, I just think the music in it, I don't feel like I've ever listened to another musical like this one. Mm-hmm. And that is, that's a fun thing for me.
Yeah, mine is also the music. I mean, it's just from the first time I heard it, I was like, this just like tingles my head in like the right way.
The overture
is like makes me so excited. And normally when an overture is happening, I'm like, oh my gosh, just like start the show. I'm glad we don't do overtures anymore, really, for musicals. But for this one, I'm like, I can just listen to just that when I'm driving and be like so pumped up.
And then I'm singing the guitar parts.
Yeah.
Like I'm in.
The thing that hooked me, I picked this show before I listened to it. And full on it.
Which is crazy.
Wow.
Because the reputation's insane.
Yeah.
So, like, no matter what happened, people are going to see it. People are going to like it. Yeah. I didn't know it. And my mom has been trying to get it for years when she directed musicals. And it was always, always, nope, on tour. So I'm like, well, let's try. It took, like, 3 months. They didn't get back to us. So my dad's like, is this ever going to happen? Like, just tell us no so we can move forward.
Right.
And they called back, like, the next day, like, no, yeah, you got it. And we're like, oh, okay. Well, I had like a list of other musicals behind it, but okay. And so then I'm listening to it, and I was like, oh no, this is not what I thought it was. And then I got to, it's an overture, but I think I skipped overture.
Mistake.
Yeah, but the 39 Lashes guitar, mm-hmm. Amazing.
Like, yeah,
that's that. When I heard that, I'm like, okay, this is the musical for me right here. And so like that's my favorite part of the whole thing.
Until 85% of the way.
Yeah, I'm like almost yeah. over.
But like it's so cool. It's so that guitar is awesome.
The guitar licks in this show are just so this is why and sometimes in the weirdest freaking places.
Yeah.
Like spoiler alert, Judas dies. But in the Judas' death scene, that there's like it's this great guitar riff, and I'm like,
you're like jamming.
Like, yeah, Judas is gonna die.
That's what the whole thing feels like to me, and like it's supposed to like feel mismatched and uncomfortable, but it's like, it has such a following, like more than I think any musical I've ever done.
It has a diverse following too, like people of different ages and religious beliefs, and whatever.
Like, why the hell does Callum like it?
Like, I was just going to say, it's crazy. Like, he loves this. This is his favorite. And I would have never guessed that or thought he would be into a musical this much.
Yeah. It's very strange. But my father says a similar thing where, like, it's a reflection of the time. And, like, that's why he loves it. And I just, I love a plot. I love when there's just a thick plot that you can get lost in and feel and.
It's not there.
This is music.
But that's something that...
It's a concert.
It's a concert.
Yeah,
this is a concert.
That's basically what it is. And that was something that you talked about with Cal when he was on, that the plot is secondary, but you wanted to do it a little differently and bring more of the plot to the forefront.
Which is easier said than done in a show like this.
Way easier said than done. Because like, they set everything up, like, this is how it is, and then they completely change it in the song, and you're like, that's not how storytelling works. But go for it. Go crazy. And... I do like what we're doing, and I love our actors and where we're at, but it's been a challenge for sure to like, oh yeah, guys, remember, like, we have to like tell some kind of story throughout this, even though it makes no sense.
It's not strictly a concert.
Yes.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it has such a crazy following. I'm always just curious, like, why people like it. And the music makes sense. I mean, it does, like, that adds up more than... Oh, I love it for the story because it's just.
Have you guys seen different versions or just?
Yeah, I guess what's your favorite version? That's a good one.
If you've seen it more.
I've seen it a handful of times in a handful of like I've seen a couple of different tours. I've seen pretty much every version they've ever filmed of it. I tend to go back to the movie from the 70s as like my favorite one to watch. But the version I listen to, I think, is the same one that Callum likes to listen to, which I lovingly refer to as the brown one. The cover's brown. I think it's actually technically like, maybe it's like the concept album or like the I think it was like the pre-movie album. That's my favorite version. If I'm listening to it, that's what I'm listening to. Except in this, while I was doing the show, I listened a lot to the John Legend one because that's the one that's the closest to our actual sheet music, because words have been changed and like harmonies have been added in different places and stuff. So I've listened to that one a lot now, but that's my favorite one, the oldest one, the first one.
Because it started as an album, right? And then like they turned it into a show.
I have no idea.
I don't know the history.
That's what Kale said.
You can tell.
To sing it.
I just like the music.
Yeah. We're both like, we don't know.
Yeah, so I think it
It the brown one. I don't know.
Well, that's what I was listening to, like, to get into it. And I was like, Callum, dude, I can't get into this. Like, this is kind of horrible. And so he made a playlist of all different versions. So it, like, lines up with, like, what's the best from each. And I listened to that, and I'm like, okay, all right, now I get it. Like, just listening to the brown, the OG, I was like, this might be god awful. I can't confirm, but this might be horrible.
It's not.
it's so disjointed, and like everyone says that about Sondheim, and I love Sondheim. Everyone's like,
me too.
It's disjointed. It doesn't sound good, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, Superstar does not. The original album doesn't sound good. Like there's not. It's just like they're singing, and there's like music in the background, like they're picking up music from somewhere else while somebody's screaming at the top of their lungs.
I mean. You're not wrong.
Yeah. So I'm like,
but I love it.
That doesn't sound good. I think all Sondheim like sounds good. It sounds, it's crazy, but in an organized way.
Yeah, this like is just disjointed, chaos. But it works.
Yeah, there's pieces of this show that I hear almost like I hear Sondheim, where I'm like, it's. But then I feel like there's other pieces of this show where they were literally like, and I'm saying this with a lot of love because you know I love the show, where the, like Andrew Lloyd Webber must have just been like. Smash, smash, smash on the keyboard and been like, that's going to make people uncomfortable. I'm going to leave it in.
This is it right here.
That's the one. Whereas Sondheim, I always picture, like, you know, being almost mathematical in how he...
Yeah.
And, like, but, beakers bubbling in the background. And he's like, must figure this out. And someone's like, yo, Andrew, bro, we need this by tomorrow. And he's like...
I bet lots of people say, yo, Andrew.
Yo, Andrew. Yo, Andy.
Andrew, bro, this is going live tomorrow, man. We need that now. And he just, the cat crossed the keyboard. Yeah. And...
Well, this is like his first one, right? Or like one of his first ones. Like, I don't think he knew what he was doing. He was just a kid. But like, I still love it. I love it so much.
I'm more of a Joseph fan. I
know. We've talked about this. Yes. I don't understand.
I don't
that
understand
one.
That
Especially
one.
Especially with what we've just talked about that you like in the shows. You're like, also, I like the one with the pretty dress.
It's mostly nostalgia, I would say, but also this is like, let's pretend we're deep and like and meaningful like a Sondheim piece, but we're not. Like it's really surface level. Joseph is like, we're not even going to pretend. Like this is just surface level.
Let's
literally just sit down
French
and just
song in the middle.
Like just it's like yeah. An acid trip, that whole musical.
It's a little acid trippy,
and it's awesome. There's colors, flashing lights, and then
there's colors.
This is going so much against
everything.
It is
everything we've talked about so far today.
No, it is, but like, it's not pretending to be something deep. It's just like this is what it is. And then he like in the middle of everything, like let's put a beautiful, slow. Close Every Door is like awesome.
It's a good song.
Doesn't fit, doesn't make sense, but it's like, go off.
Yeah, I don't know. I never got into Joseph. I love Godspell, though.
Really?
I love Godspell so much. I've done it twice, and I'm like, I'd do it a third time.
I literally got into Joseph in high school. I did it. I was in it. I did it. I was a narrator. I had to smile the whole time. I would just much rather make people uncomfortable, as previously stated, than just be like, yay!
Yeah.
Big smile. Here's a guy. He's here. I'm also here.
It's just
also, that
fun.
Show is all about boys. Boo. So many boys.
It wasn't the plan. It wasn't the plan.
Still
it was the backup.
Boys.
I know.
So is Jesus Christ Superstar.
But at least there are other people cast in
That's
other
true.
Roles.
That's true.
Yes. Which I'm willing to do in Joseph as well. Just putting that out there. I love every number in Joseph. Like, everybody gets their
okay.
chance.
I would like to play Joseph. Let's go.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be against casting anybody in anything, truthfully. I'm open to everything.
I'm gonna hold you to that evening. I will hold you to nothing.
I'm open to anything. But like the music's just fun. It's just a fun
time. It is fun.
And it doesn't pretend to not be fun. That's why I like that more than this.
I get that. Kinda. Sorry, I guess this is give DJ a hard time.
It always
podcast. It's okay, I always do.
It's literally right. All the podcast is.
We can team
it
up.
It really is.
All right. Anything else anybody's feeling wants to talk about?
I'm really excited you guys are doing Hunchback next season.
Yes. Me too.
Because no one's done that at all in this area.
No. I don't.
Really? Not at all.
I've never. Yeah, no. Oh.
No. Yeah. A high school did it a little bit ago.
Yeah, that might have been like high school.
Almost a decade ago.
Oh, wow.
But like
yeah.
That's about it. So like that was in the summer slot. And like I was ready to do that next summer, and then because something else fell through, and then I shifted the season last minute. I'm like, let's do two musicals, why not? And then Joseph was like, well, I know Joseph, I love Joseph, let me just toss that in there. So I didn't pick just guys on purpose.
Okay, DJ. No, I'm just kidding.
No, but you are. You're not the first person to say it. So I'm getting that out into the universe.
It's just hard to be a female presenting person in theater.
It is.
There's
difficult.
So many talented people in that category, and there's always like 10 guys, one
yes.
female role.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, so one of my questions about Hunchback is that, so I don't know much about, like, I saw the movie when I was like 8.
Okay.
One time, and I have not seen it again or listened to it since then. But the thing I remember about it is maybe a couple years ago now that there was a high school in Ithaca that tried to do it, and then the cast list came out and they had cast some of the Romani parts as white actors.
Right.
And there was like a huge uprising in the community that eventually caused the production to get canceled.
Oh.
And so have you thought about how you want to cast those parts, or like how, cause like it would really suck to be in a position like that where
yeah.
like, you know,
I'm just going to cast whoever comes out, and I'm going to try to do the best that I can with what I get.
Fair.
But it is, it's always a thought.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Race in theater is like a tough topic. And then like, I think the Romani culture is also kind of a tough topic that like people don't always know how to talk about or how to approach. And which I was wondering if maybe that's why more theaters haven't tried to do it, because they
right.
don't totally know how
yeah.
to, like, the likelihood of getting a whole bunch of Roma people coming out to audition for your show is probably
unlikely.
Probably close to zero.
Low.
That's why, like, your only choice is really to go with what you have or not do it at all.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know enough about the culture either, too. Like, is Romani a race, or is it a culture? Is it like all I know is that that production got canceled, right? Like
right.
this is basically my whole
right
exposure to it. This is what I know about Hunchback.
Well, it's really good. So
sick.
I feel like, I don't know. We'll do what we can with who comes out, and I think it's going to be a great show.
Heck
either,
yeah.
Either way.
I'm excited to listen to it.
It's awesome.
The music is really good. I mean, it's Alan Menken.
Oh, so like it's gonna be good.
Yes.
Yeah. Great. Okay. I didn't know
it's
that makes sense.
It's incredible. It really, really is. Every song, like, there's not songs you skip through.
Mm-mm.
It's just like listen to the whole
sick.
Thing. And there's gonna be a lot of people. I'm trying to like get a choir so we can do all the big chanting
Ooh.
Stuff, and like they can focus on that. Then we have a normal ensemble that does everything else that the ensemble does.
It's gonna fit so well in the Ghostlight space too.
Yeah.
Like it is the perfect like background for it.
Yeah, I'm very excited to start building that set. I mean, that's gonna be my life for.
Are you more excited
months.
For Hunchback or Joseph?
Tough. Hunchback.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I love Joseph, but like I don't know. Hunchback is first, so like that's just more on my mind than
mm-hmm.
Joseph.
There's, and it's like, even though Joseph is a lot of fun and you have clearly like a spot in your heart for it, Hunchback
yes.
is a little more unique of an
yes.
experience, I feel like.
And it's more of what we do. Like, we love the creepy stuff like that. Like, it fits perfectly in the winter classic slot like that's what we do. So I'm really excited to like have like a little spookiness to a musical, and yeah, it's gonna be awesome.
I love
I'm really
a spooky
excited.
Musical.
There should be more of them.
There should totally be more of them.
I agree.
Let's write one. Done. I have a lot of experience writing musicals. I'm just kidding. I have. Let's go.
I love it. I'm in. We should add an experimental slot to the season. And so, like, we could write a musical and see how it goes.
That's yeah.
great. Maybe it's awful. Maybe it's great.
Maybe it Who becomes a say? Cult classic.
Real.
You never know when that'll happen.
Rocky Horror is a thing, and that's
God,
so
I
awful.
Love that.
It's not good, but
I didn't
it's
say it was good.
Fun.
I said I loved it.
Yes. All right, so we're on the same page. So, like, that's what you want to capture, maybe, is, like, let's just write something so awful that, but, like...
Yeah, but you can't do it on purpose. If you do it on purpose, then it doesn't feel...
It has to accidentally...
Yeah, it's always like a...
Become a cult classic. Yeah.
I just can't imagine sitting down, writing Rocky Horror, reading it back, being like, this is good.
Drugs.
That's true. That is...
Must have been it... drugs. I can't imagine it being anything else.
Yeah, probably an oversight on my end. Yeah. All right, anything else? Any other questions, comments, things we want to talk about?
I liked meeting you guys. You guys were very fun to have
on. Oh, thank you.
Aww, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, stick around. We have the Starries on August 10th. We give out awards for the season. People vote if you saw all the shows. And it's just a fun time.
Sweet.
Fun time. So stick around and stay around for next season. Like, we love... having you guys around, and you both have been very, very easy to work with, which is why I wanted you on the podcast.
Because it's like
asking like real questions and being into it, and it just doesn't happen. So like,
well, I hate it here. I'm just kidding.
I enjoyed myself, even though I'm not a morning person at all. I'm like, I'm talking this much before noon. What is happening?
Yeah, I'm also not a morning person, and every Sunday here we are at 9:30.
Yeah,
slugging through it. I wake up like an hour into it, so
we did it.
We did it.
Was it 2 hours?
No, probably an hour not. 30.
Wow.
Oh, there we go. Though
that
good.
Went fast.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a time warp. It's like a time warp in here. It's just like
bringing it back.
Bringing it back. Right. Bringing it back. Now we got to put mustaches back into it. all right. See, the show Jesus Christ Superstar opens July 25th, runs through August 4th. Great, great time. Really incredible vocal talent. And this one, you don't want to miss it. Follow us on social media. Starry Night Theater on Instagram, Facebook.
TikTok.
TikTok is the other one.
Threads.
Shout out Threads. We're still out.
Does Tracy post on Threads?
She said something, I think, about the audition notice. She's like, I even put it on Threads. And I was like, we're really going for it. All right. Thank you guys for coming on.
Thank
we appreciate
you. Yeah.
It.
Heck yeah.
I was like, thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening.